Welcome to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner, where we're committed to helping you think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. And now, get ready for the eMind.
The question is, are we all entrepreneurs? It's a great question. I have a very special guest today, Vice President of Cedarville University, Dr. Tom Mack. How are you doing today?
Great. Nice to be here. Thanks, Carrie. I appreciate the honor.
Hey, listen, I know we chatted about this podcast, and a lot of people at Cedarville that I interview say, I'm not an entrepreneur, and yet I think, oh my gosh, hold on. You think like an entrepreneur in this way, this way, this way. So I know we're going to talk about that, but first of all, give us 3 minutes about your background. Where did you come from? And I know you're big into history. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I grew up just outside of Cleveland. Had a great history teacher in high school that really kind of spurred on my interest in the topic. I had just a pretty classic, growing up, your parents divorced. My grandfather became a really important figure in my life, and always appreciated kind of learning about his life and the history there and so forth. And then went on to college. I came here to Cedarville and met a couple of faculty in particular that just poured into my life, and that made a huge difference. And I ended up selecting history as a major about the end of my sophomore year, just because of the influence of one of them on my life. And by the time I got done with my degree, but the only thing that I had a real passion or excitement about was being a professor and playing that role in somebody else's life that they played in mine. So my passion's always revolved around being that kind of a professor for some students. And now I'm a little more removed from the classroom, but my goal is to create an atmosphere where faculty and staff can be that kind of a person in the lives of the students that God brings to Cedarville. Mm. I still get to teach a little bit, and so I love that. And can keep my both feet in both worlds.
Oh, that's so cool. I think that as young people, it is the professors and the parents or a mentor that really goes with them big into their career. And so that's cool that you had somebody invest in you. And then you started at, you kind of went to Mount Vernon and then Cedarville.
Yeah, I did my graduate work right here in Ohio, and then my first job out of University of Akron was at Mount Vernon Nazarene College. Had a wonderful experience there. Just a great godly mentor there.
Okay.
And my chair of the history department, and spent about 6 years there. It was a really interesting time. I learned a lot about being a professor, but I was also struggling with contentment. God had to work in my heart there, and how he works. He waits till you get there, and then he gives you another opportunity, and that's exactly what he did in my life. Always wanted to come back to Cedarville. That was my dream.
Yeah.
I needed to learn to be content in him and where he had me, and then eventually the door opened to come back to Cedarville.
I see that as a theme. As I look at the scriptures, it's like God gives David this glimpse of, being king, but then he's got to go through all the refinement, or Jacob, the vision, or Abraham. It just seems like it's the pattern. And my story, that was the pattern too, where I got rejected from Cedarville, but now I'm here. So thanks.
I appreciate your
understanding that.
Your tenacity. We're not perfect here.
No, you're good. You're good. I love it. I love it. So, by the way, we have people watching. We're on LinkedIn. We're on X. We're on Cedarville's Facebook, YouTube. Go ahead if you want. Post in a comment of somebody maybe who made an impact in your life, who is a professor at Cedarville or elsewhere. But we're talking about the eMind, and the eMind stands for entrepreneurship. And I came up with a few questions, and I wanted to ask you. I think it's, first of all, it's amazing. I like history personally. And what do you think of, though, when you hear the word entrepreneur? Does this classic image come up, or what do you think about?
Well, honestly, a lot of my thinking about it has been molded in the last few months of just spending a little bit more time with you.
Yeah.
But there's no question that my, thinking coming in has always been, an entrepreneur is a risk taker. It's a creative problem solver. It's a person with a lot of energy and a particular passion about a goal or a problem that they want to, achieve or solve.
Yeah.
And, looking over the 10 traits from your book, certainly you know, some of those things fall into that category, but a lot of those traits, you know, after looking at your list, I'm like, yes, absolutely. That's what comes to mind. And, you know, the concept of us all being entrepreneurs is a new concept to me, but, you know, the more I think about it, you know, throughout life, we take risks, right? We have to choose, you know, schools, jobs, places to live, taking on mortgages, medical treatments if we've got a health issue. And as Christians, we know God's in control. We also know that the more we are conformed in the image of his son, then the Holy Spirit guides us. But God gives us the responsibility to make decisions and to trust that he'll walk with us through those decisions. And so you have to be willing to take risks and you have to be willing to trust.
Yes.
And then the flip side of that is also, you know, not overdoing the risk side, because I think that's what I'm learning a lot this year from you and from the renewed emphasis here on this is that entrepreneurs need to be learners. They need to be teachable. That was one of your terms that I think really resonates with me. I think they have to be people with an independent spirit that can say, all right, I'm willing to go try this.
Yeah.
And they're sharp and they've got ideas. But on the other hand, they also know what they don't know.
Yes.
And they're willing to reach out and find people that can give them the advice, the support, the counsel that they may need in those areas where they don't necessarily have those personal strengths, and be able to rely on them to help get them over that hump.
Well, I'll tell you what, even being in some of your all faculty meetings and the new faculty training this semester, which, by the way, big compliments to your whole team who was involved in that, you know, going from someone who's been in the business world and prior to that, the ministry world, and then into higher academics, I felt very well trained. You had the right choices of exposure to who I learned from.
Great.
But even as a new person, I'll tell you some things I saw from you that demonstrated to me like, hey, this guy has an entrepreneur in him. you had to reorganize the schools.
Yep.
So, you know, one of the traits is flexibility. And I saw you lead the faculty through that great, you know, I kind of came at the tail end, but talk about that. Cause that's even going to ruffle a few feathers maybe, or cause questions at times like, hey, change. Anytime you change, you have to be flexible if you're going to be on the team. So what did you change for the schools? Where else have you seen Cedarville in your role? You have to be flexible, these types of things.
Yeah, no, there's no question. Flexibility is critical in the life of any organization. And I think you know this, academia is not known for its flexibility.
That's what I've heard.
It's not known for its ability to pivot and move in a new direction. And there's some good reasons for that. You know, there's value in the model that we have in this country, but there's also the need to be able to change and meet the needs of a changing society. And we just historically, we haven't been very good at that in higher education. And you don't have to turn on the news for very long right now to recognize some of the problems we have in higher education. And a lot of that is, you know, attributable to some older thinking about what education is and what it's supposed to be and who gets to make those decisions. But no question, we needed to reorganize. You know, we had a model that was right for a period of time, especially after our president came in, Dr. White, about 10 years ago, and flattened our structure, which we needed, and allowed for a lot better interaction between various aspects of campus and the administration, the president in particular. But with the growth we've seen in that time, it was time for some reorganization just to allow for addressing needs of growth and to prepare for the potential of more. And so we took about 15 different academic units and collapsed them into 9 schools.
Wow.
And, you know, that takes people that are willing to work with you and see the impact or the benefit for the mission of the institution. And that's one thing that we're really blessed with here at Cedarville, is people that are committed to our mission. That allows them to think outside the box and even outside their comfort zone when maybe they don't always agree with the direction we're heading, but if they're able to see how it's going to help us fulfill our mission, they'll get on board. And they did. They were wonderful about it.
Mm. So I love what you're talking about. Now, here's where I would say I want to push you as an entrepreneur, because you wrote this amazing book. And, you know, I tell people sometimes, I work with authors all the time. And some authors, I think, are too humble. And so I'm going to say, listen, man, you're too humble. Okay. So I know that this book This is you? This is one of your books?
Yes, I wrote that book.
Come on. Okay. So, you know, I've been in your world being like, listen, man, we can optimize this and we can get you this author bio instead of this little gray picture here, you know, like, and again, you are so dedicated to Cedarville and you're serving so many people that you haven't had time to let me do that for you. But, I can't wait to optimize you and get you rolling. But anyway, what does this book do and why did you write it?
Yeah. So, this book just became a topic of interest. This particular person, George Pendleton, became an interest when I was in grad school. And wow. Obviously I needed to work on a dissertation topic and they want you to work on something that really needs either an update or hasn't been worked on in the past.
Yeah.
And something that addresses an important question. And so the more I got into looking at him, the more I thought there's some value here. There wasn't really a good scholarly biography of him. There was some campaign biographies of him, but that was about it. And he is an important figure. He's not always a figure that you look at with admiration. He has warts, and some of them are really significant warts, you know, and some significant problems. But he was a very influential politician, and, you know, our society increasingly wants to sort of ignore or put off to the side people that are problematic. But the reality is that historians know, and most people know, that you learn a lot from even the people that are not admirable.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he was just a guy that influenced the Democratic Party quite a bit in the middle of the 19th century. He's responsible for the first major civil service reform legislation that we still, you know, that law is still in effect.
Wow.
Still an important part of our bureaucratic system. And so, you know, you recognize in him that human beings are complex. Yep. And there are things that you learn that we want to avoid, and then things that we ought to look at and say there's something to learn here. And I think probably the most interesting thing that I found in studying him was that he was at least an individual politician where you knew where he stood on things. He was ideologically driven and you knew where he stood. And to me, that's how democracy is supposed to work. You can agree or disagree, vote for him, don't vote for him, but at least you knew where he stood. He wasn't hiding, trying to go with the winds of culture or whatever. And I think we need more of that today. It would make our system run more effectively, I think.
That's so good. I do like history as well. And that's my goal, is to have like one takeaway at least from each person's life, male or female. And that's what you're saying. You took away from him his resolve to be clear, his clarity. That's cool. That's cool. And then you also worked on this Cedarville history. How was that? Because who's the gentleman that you, your co-author on that?
Yeah, I'm much more proud of that, just because it's meaningful work, much more meaningful work to me and for this institution.
Is it Murdoch?
Dr. Murdoch, he was one of those faculty members that just made such a huge difference in my life. And I had the privilege of working with him, under him and with him after I came back to Cedarville. And he had written our history at our centennial, which is back in 1987. And so I had the opportunity to bring it up to date at our 125th anniversary. And so I added maybe two or three chapters, got to work with him on that. So we did that sort of revised version together. It was a joy to go back and look at the work he had done and then to think about what God had done in the 25 years in between that time. That was just about the time that Dr. White was coming here. So we're really ready for the next edition.
Yeah.
No question, because so much has changed. God's done so much in the last decade. But it was a real privilege. And it's really a story about the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of a community pursuing the mission that God had given them.
Tell me the name again of that.
The name that was chosen, 125, was Inspiring Greatness, Cedarville University. We'll probably change that. That was understood where that was coming from, but I think there's a better message for the title moving forward.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, you guys handed that to us at the new faculty training, and I even like the history of that, how I think God has brought a brand new leadership in place, and there's a lot of things going. I mean, let's talk about this for a moment. Okay. Groundbreaking. Isn't it true? Something like, what was it? 6 buildings in 6 years or something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable what's happening right now. And as you look back over the history of the institution, you see a number of places where presidents stepped out, I think in a fashion that you would agree is very entrepreneurial.
Yes.
Think about Dr. Dixon in the 80s inaugurating an engineering program, or a nursing program, excuse me, in the 90s, an engineering program. More recently, just after the turn of the century, we started a pharmacy program. And this past year, you know, we inaugurated a PA studies program. Those are major initiatives. They don't just happen. You know, years of planning and preparation and getting them approved and then in place. And you're making an investment in those things. And, you know, when you look at things like nursing and engineering back in the 80s and 90s, you see the vision of those presidents at that time. You recognize just how important those decisions were back then. And, you know, those are two of our three largest areas, academic schools on campus now. So it's really fascinating to recognize how important those decisions become over time for an institution like ours.
I love it. And I have Dr. White coming on January 8th. So somebody said, I don't know what you did to get the VP and the president on your podcast. They said, they've been trying for years. So I feel blessed here, but Dr. White, man, when he speaks, I get really fired up. And I think you're a really good combo. Dr. Heyman has told me that you just both work well together. I mean, we feel that synergy. But even this Christian school partner, you know, and the Center for Leadership and Training podcast, like I look at all God is doing and the cybersecurity. I mean, you're one of the leaders of all universities. Maybe talk about some of these other initiatives that, I don't know, maybe they get a lot of attention, maybe they don't, but what are some thoughts?
Yeah, no, I appreciate your comment about Dr. White. He is an individual that can look past the moment and think through, all right, what do we need to be thinking about as we look into the future? And I love that about him. I am more the kind of person that likes to see a problem and attack it. But he has an idea what the problem is going to be two, 3, 4 years down the road. And that is really reassuring to be able to follow a leader like that. And then he is great about saying, all right, we're going to try this and let's dive in 100% and do it. You mentioned the Christian School Partnership. That's one of the things that I'm most excited about right now. It's under the able leadership of Dr. Van Loo, our VP for enrollment. And, you know, we're partnering with Christian schools to provide biblically grounded course options within their school, not online. We already do that, which is great, that has its place, but schools have tended to partner with community colleges and other institutions. That's worked, but they're Christian schools. They're looking for courses that are built upon biblical foundations. And so they're eager to partner with us. They're also looking for courses that have solid academic rigor. And those are areas that Cedarville is known for. And we want to be able to provide those opportunities for Christian schools. You mentioned a host of others. I'll just talk about one other, and that's the cyber program. It's remarkable what God is doing in that area. We have wonderful faculty members that have come to partner with us on that program. This is a field that's just exploding. And the recognition that program has received from the NSA and from other organizations has really put Cedarville on the map. And these are things you can work towards, but God's got to intervene to give you that kind of recognition. And we're just grateful for what he's doing there and for the hard work of the faculty and staff that are part of those programs.
That's so good. I'm dropping in a link here. Cedarville.edu. And we have some other amazing things coming. Dr. Heyman's been inviting me to create what's called Q Camp, but it's for high schooler, Cedarville University Entrepreneurship. So that's a camp coming this summer. Of course, you got the pitch. Talk about the new business center. I know that's like one of the biggest buildings right now that's under, you know, in fact, I'm a nerd, I'll be honest. I watched the whole dedication service. I mean, I liked it. I was like getting fired up before, you know, when I was praying about coming, I said, I want to watch this dedication thing. And man, it was good. It fired me up. So talk about the leadership center and business center.
We're so thankful for our friends and partners that have come alongside us to help provide funding for this, this building. You know, buildings matter. Sometimes they can become too important, but not here at Cedarville. We do a really good job of recognizing these are means to an end. We want to raise funds for buildings rather than use tuition dollars for that. And God has blessed us with the funding for this building.
Yeah.
It's going to house our, as you well know, our School of Business and Communication. It's going to house our Center for Cybersecurity, our Center for Free Enterprise, just all kinds of elements associated with this building. But for a long time, we just have had, you know, our premier program or one of our top three premier programs has been in the area of business, but we just haven't had a facility that goes along with that. And so I think we're finally going to be at a place where the building will match the quality of what we've been providing students in that area. Certainly a huge interest area for our students, and I'm grateful for that. It's really the last spot on our lake. And, you know, I think back in the 70s when somebody decided to dig that lake and make it a part of the campus. The campus wasn't very close to that lake, but now we've surrounded it. And see the last piece coming into place here with this magnificent building is exciting. And I can't wait to see what God's going to do in the years ahead. That should open probably for occupancy late spring. And then, of course, our first class coming in, we'll be taking classes there in the fall. And hopefully your summer camp will be able to participate, be able to use classrooms this summer. That's what we're hoping for.
Oh, it is beautiful. I want to show a quick picture here, but it is absolutely beautiful. So you can see the Cedarville. You're talking about the lake. Here's the lake.
Right.
And wow, I didn't even know these numbers. So you're talking 49 states, 57 countries. But yeah, the lake is beautiful. And the Schaumburg Business Center is going up. Also, communication is part of this now as well, right? It's like a combined school.
Yeah, as part of the reorganization, we brought communication and business together into a new school. That's always a challenge. People want to make sure that their area is recognized for its individual worth and purpose, and we absolutely value both business and communication. They've got some wonderful programs in communication, from communication to broadcasting and digital media, journalism, and on. And so we are thankful for that. And they're doing excellent work. And we actually hope to see a great deal of synergy coming out of that combination.
That's so good. Yeah. I'm showing people right now the actual building. Folks, you can check this out. It's way further than that now. I mean, it almost looks done, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. So that's fantastic. And then I don't know if you knew this, but we are doing, for the first time in a long time, I guess, a academic preview day for the business and communication. You're fantastic people. Ari over at the admissions, I talked with her and I said, we got to get this rolling. So she created this page. But now, yeah, we have our own academic preview day because I don't like to miss out, man. So I heard other schools were having. I'm like, we got to have one.
Excellent. I love it.
Yeah. So what, you know, we got 3 minutes left here. So what's next? I know I know the semester kind of rolls and, you know, we're almost about to take a little break. But what do you see kind of like next? I know that might be a Dr. White question, but what are you working on now these days?
Yeah, so you know, in the entrepreneurial space, our next big project is for the first time in Cedarville's history, putting undergraduate programs online. We just recognize that there's a cohort of students out there that are looking for online programs, even in the 22-year-old category. For one reason or another, coming to Cedarville and being a part of our community is not the best fit for them, or maybe not at this particular point in their lives. And so, you know, we've always felt concerned about the students that are interested in what we are and what we're about, but for one reason or another, can't make that commitment to come here. And so we are going to, our goal is to offer three brand new programs in the fall. Not brand new in terms of us, we offer these programs here on campus, but brand new in terms of the medium in which we're offering them, and that of course will be online. So we are working to that end. It's exciting, it's challenging, it's got everything associated with being entrepreneurial in it.
Yeah, it does.
So your tagline for today about are we all entrepreneurs, I guess we are.
we are, you know, and that's a great little close, but I'll tell you what, I've even looked at Hebrews 11 differently now because it says, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Right. And so I think faith, like you mentioned, you gave a great balance. It's not just dumb risk, you know, oh, let's just be risky. But faith in God, let's face it, building an ark, crossing the Red Sea.
Right.
I mean, the Bible is full of some calculated risk.
right. Right. And it gives us brains to think with and make wise decisions. And we don't always get that red pill and call from God the way Noah did, but he's equipped us with what we need. And so we've got to make the best decisions we can and hopefully be good stewards of what he's given to us.
I love how Tanisha just put a cap on it. A to the men. A to the men. So Dr. Mack, thank you very much. And we put a lot of links in there for people to check out Cedarville, why Cedarville, how to apply, how to learn more. But thank you for your role. And folks, I'm going to say, you know, we got to see more books from this young man coming too. So
I appreciate it, Kerry. I encourage your guests to take a look at Cedarville's website. We've got some free Bible courses online. They can tune into our weekday chapels.
Yes.
Forward to them getting to know a little bit more about us.
Awesome. Thank you, Dr. Mack.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Kerry Oberbrunner. We look forward to hearing from you and how you're applying the eMind. Please share your story by submitting a review on your platform of choice. We read every single one. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. Visit ignitingsouls.com/emind and cedarville.edu for more help in your entrepreneurial journey.